Okay. Good morning. Thank you, Cynthia, for the invitation to share some data from Latin America. This is the title of the presentation, Climate Change, Impact and Vulnerability on the Agriculture of America, Latin America. This will be a brief trip to South America, Latin America, especially about South America, and some of the climate change impact and the problems or the interaction that will cause in the future the climate change. So what is the difference in Latin American? We have the same language. Most of us speak Spanish, except Brazil. But we are different in climates, in ecosystem, population distribution, tradition, and also the income distribution. In the last 30 years, we have the different extreme events that you can see on the picture about floods, drought, other events, and two very intensive events were in 82-83 and 97-98 related to Enzo Feis and caused all these disasters, natural disasters. Here also some examples of what happened with flooding in Venezuela, in the north part of Argentina also, as well as Salta, Bolivia. The incredible hail storm in La Paz, Bolivia, Buenos Aires, Argentina, Bogota, Colombia. Drought in the Amazonia. Hurricane records in the 205. And the most important thing probably is this the first hurricane in the south coast of Brazil. This was in, I think, 2005. For instance, something has happened, and I believe that the future will be different to how to we thought before. And also, it's increased four times respect to the past 10 years. In terms of social and political aspect, we have some differences in demography. Also, the urban growth was without organization most of in all Latin America. It's also a problem with rural poverty and mitigation, lack of investment in infrastructure, some intersectoral problem. All this increase the vulnerability. And also, in some parts of Latin America, the poorest people are living in the places like low land and poor houses. And, for example, for the 8.4 million of people are living in the hurricane way. For instance, the vulnerability of these people is really high. Okay, what can expect about the future climate? So we can see some differences between T-media, how it was in the last 40 or 50 years according to different countries. But the general comment is the temperature is increased, as well as in some countries the media, or in the case of Brazil, we had some increase in the maximum temperature, but the dramatic is the temperature, the minimum temperature increase at 0.5 to 0.8 each decade. For Argentina, from 59 to 98, we have some increase in the minimum temperature for 0.2 degrees per decade during the summer months, but it's 0.8 for winter months. And probably the most dramatic effect is on the south, in the Patagonia, where the increase of temperature was between 2.0 and 2.4 in summertime. Also, we have some trends in for warm nights. We can see some increase of the night temperature. Basically, the bigger triangles are the bigger increase of night temperature. In South America, we can see two, three areas, the south of Brazil, north of Chile, and also in Ecuador, where the night increased a lot. And in Central America, we have some different pattern of night temperatures. Okay, about the glacier, we saw the melting of many of them. This is a nice picture of the Chacaltaya volcano in close to La Paz. It used to be an important ski resort, and right now it's almost gone. And the same tendencies for many others in the tropical Andes glaciers. About rainfall trend, we can see in the South Americas, the blue ones are the areas where we can expect where it's some increase in rainfall, basically in the north part of Argentina, Uruguay, Paraguay, south of Brazil. That is important for food or grain production. And also in the north part of Peru and Ecuador, but also some decrease of in rainfall in Peru and south of Chile and west of Argentina. It's all over the world. It's an increment on the intensity of rainfall. It's some in the period from 1950. Can see some differences in the intensity of rainfall.
Is this intensity or quantity or both?
Well, this is probably this slide will show, will answer your question. In this example of Argentina, the red one, this is the north part of Argentina, is the increment of times the amount of millimeters reached in the last 20 years, and the right one are the increment of the rainfall higher than 100 millimeters. So it's a dramatic increase of a number of days with the rainfall higher than 100 millimeters. Okay, what are the impacts that already we observed? It's a higher frequency of flood and drought. And it's affecting 70% of the countries in the region. An increase in the forest fire, for example, for the Amazonia, due to drought and also for El Nino events and land use change, increase in numbers of fire every year. We are losing biodiversity. We see some increase in diseases in many crops. The cycle is the growing the crop cycle is short, it's going short, but the growing season is longer. For instance, we have other alternative in crop production, and many crops are moving south or changing the altitude, go to uplands. The glaciers are melting, and all this affect the productivity in most of the whole region.
Yeah. Productivity change, is it positive or negative, or sometimes positive, sometimes negative?
Well, usually in this list, most of them are negative. Except, I mean, it's a difficult combination because in places where the rainfall increase, usually the productivity increase also in the negative, I mean, It's a difficult blend, and sometimes we need to think a lot to find the best strategy for each of this region. Okay, we have other factors that increase the vulnerability. Probably deforestation is one of them. We can see how is the area deforested in the last year in the Amazonia. And now it's a couple of data about how it was in terms of percentage in the y-axis and how many million of hectares in the x-y axis for each country. Where, of course, Brazil has between 90 and 2000, something like 25, 26 million hectares deforested. This is good news or bad news about Argentina. So this is how the rainfall line moved west. For instance, all this yellow-brown area was deforested, and they used for soybean, basically with the intensive use, and they we can see how they destroy. Probably this is a manual how to destroy the land in just a few years with intensive crop production. So this is the final how these fragile soils will not support this kind of intensive agriculture. Basically, in north part of the countries, but also in part of Paraguay, Bolivia, and Brazil after the deforestation. Okay, this is the evolution of soybean crop. In this graph are Argentina, Brazil, and United States, and in this graph is how was the evolution of Uruguay, Bolivia, Paraguay. So it's a very important crop and sometimes a monoculture, monocrop. For instance, it's some problem of degradation, erosion, with resistance, and many etc. But anyway, it's a very important crop, and in terms of economics, basically in terms of economics. So, of course, in Latin America, we are losing some biodiversity. The red spot in the region are what are we losing in the last years, as well as desertification in different parts of Latin America. About the water resources, so we have the four important rivers, as well as several lakes. But anyway, the temporal distribution and the accelerated melting of glacier constraining the water availability and has impact on human and production activities. So contamination sometimes is important, basically due to nitrogen from agriculture. We have low crop efficiency in nitrogen use, and also some animal waste that impact the biodiversity, health, and sometimes produce fatal diseases and cancer. About changes in the and challenge in the future, probably climate change will be the great challenge in the future. We must preserve the availability and quality of natural resources like soil and water. This is the projection about temperature and precipitation from 80 to 99 compared with the 100 years later in annual summer or winter season, and how will change how the prediction said that can change temperature and precipitation in degrees and millimeters. These changes of these future scenarios also will change the cereal production and will not, of course, geographically uniform. This is how we consider that the climate change is affecting crops in Latin America. The red spots are the how they will decrease, and the green one how they increase. And I'm not sure if you can see, but something like a tractor means agriculture, and some maize and wheat and soybean for the south part of Latin America, and some tropical crops like sugarcane, coffee in the north part of Latin America. In terms of what's happened with the use of land, the yellows are the actual use in different region of the Earth, and what is the potential Latin American possibility to expansion the agriculture. We can see that it's with a higher potential possibility to expand the agriculture. In about the limits of adaptation, we have some exogenous limits, like physical and ecological, some economics in terms of cost and benefit of this adaptation, technological limits, which will be the value of, of this technology or innovation, and also some limits in terms of ethic, how much and what to evaluate, the knowledge, how much and what do we know about the adaptation, the risk, how we can, how is the perception for each of us the risk, and cultural means that our society has its own background about the values. So other limitation for adaptation will be the scarce retrospective impact study. So it's difficult to see back in our past. It's also the lack of knowledge about the past, few knowledge of current cause of vulnerability. Many initiatives, but low results is kind of common for many countries in Latin America. It's an excessive search of detail in some cases, but in others it's too general. For instance, we don't agree about which is the medium point. It's also an excess of expectation about climate scenarios, lack of criteria and agreement or to fix the baseline, lack of adequate and open database. That is probably one of the more difficult points to find available data and free. Also, in terms of institution, is a lack of integration and interaction between inter-institution. This is we lost time and money in this kind of lack of integration. It's a lack of power in several responsible organisms. Usually we have overlapping repetition of tasks, lack of continuity in our studies. We start, but we never finish, or we start to do different things. The information sometimes is not available. Changes in leader and participant, and lack of solid and stable research group to advise in project and program. And finally, lack of human resources linking research and administration. Okay, my last comment is it's many bad news, but the good one is we're still alive, and this is a good way to adaptation. Thank you. Is there any question?
Thank you, Santiago. Any questions, comments, discussion about the wonderful presentation from South America? Wait, just let's think. I just actually want to say that slide of those last two slides, I know you ended on a somewhat pessimistic note about barriers to adaptation, but that compendium of those barriers that I think that you brought together and with your co-authors are is going to be really helpful, because those are the things that we really have to, the ones that agricultural scientists can bear down on, that's what we need to do. And a lot of them had to do with organizing data better, projects better, our work together better. So that's why it's a good thing we're working together. Oh, wait, some questions. Yes, some questions coming up. Let's go to the back, and then you, because we've heard. Yes, please.
You showed potential expansion in certain parts of Latin America. Some of those areas are quite warm. What is the resiliency of those soils? What is the potential to degrade those soils with active agricultural activity?
Yes, but probably we must think in some wide style, because it's probably many of this soil, you are right, if the temperature will increase a couple of degrees in the next 20 or 30 degrees years, we must think in something like what kind of agriculture will be possible in some areas, in some region. But on the other hand, I believe that we have some tools to have a feeling about the risk, about probabilities, about what can happen in the future. For instance, with a little bit of common sense, probably we can be success in that.
One last question very quickly, then we'll go to...
You closed with a very interesting picture and a very interesting remark. What is your perception or what is your comment about the knowledge that ancient cultures could bring into the adaptation strategy, which I think there is a very interesting value on those aspects?
Well, maybe the ancient, they don't have any problem with the climate change. They were lucky. But in terms of, I don't know how ancient is this concept, but I believe that we must start in a better crop sequence, because it's not clear, or many people show some increment of temperature or rainfall, but the pattern is not clear. For instance, maybe the best practice right now is to have a wide conception of crop sequence and rotation, and try to decrease the risk, the production risk for climate risk.
Thank you very much.
Okay, thank you.
We now head across the Atlantic to hear the view from Europe by John Porter from the University of Copenhagen. And as John also mentioned, I think you mentioned earlier, but if not, John is the co-coordinating lead author for the food systems chapter of the fifth assessment report of the Intergovernmental Panel on Climate Change. There, I didn't use one possible acronym. So I think also in some ways we feel that this symposium also was a bit organized for you, John, to get a worldwide view as John and his chapter authors are gathering all the literature to assess climate change and food systems for the fifth assessment. John.
Okay, thank you.